I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, it's Joel. We're going to take it till 4 o'clock. Blitz is going to take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. Covered a lot of ground today, a lot of topics, both sportsy and not so much. And you wanted to get something going here in the final hour of the big show.
Yeah, we had Scott on before, and I don't remember how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Bergin, B-E-R-G-I-N. But Scott was kind of went viral. I was thinking about getting him on the podcast, too, to talk about it. But he was in the news a little bit, and his YouTube video went viral for his mound visits. He's a Little League coach, and he would go out to the mound and just say these ridiculously bad things to Little Leaguers, and it was absolutely hilarious. And in fact, when at the end of our show, if you listen, one of the things that after we, because we, one of the guys goes, "Yeah, boy," and he farts, that's from the sleep app bit. But before that, there's a little thing that says, "And I didn't know they sniffed their own farts." That was from our interview with Scott.
Yep. And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, that first part, that's Scott, and we were talking to him because he had done a pregame speech with his team where he called the other team fart sniffers, and then the parents got mad, and that's why he said what he did. But
his Little League is here right outside Houston.
It's in spring.
Yeah.
So he hit me to a new video that's out, and I wanted to grab some clips for it, and I'll tweet out a link to the full video. But here are some of the highlights from his newest video of mound visits to his Little League pitchers.
Did I seem wasted during tryouts? Because I can't figure out how you made it on this team. Clearly, practice does not appear to be working. This is why everyone talks about you as soon as you leave the dugout. I knew you couldn't do it. Dude, you're lucky your mom is hot. Someone needs to put me out of my misery. I heard you were the worst player on your last team as well. What's your name again? Been sitting over there in the dugout, holding my breath, just trying to pass out. Look at it this way. You're not the worst Little League pitcher on the planet. You just better hope that the kid that is doesn't quit.
That's my favorite.
That's the best way to finish that.
So much. I love it. So you're just lucky your mom's hot. These are so good. They're so funny.
I'm assuming that was to his son.
No. These are all different. There's one.
No,
where
one because remember on
you're the, lucky his mom's hot.
No. The first time he joined us, there was one particular kid that he was talking to, and that was his mom. I mean, that was his son, and he was talking about his mom.
But he also said he had worked it out with other parents, that they knew what was going on.
And they were
cool with it.
I would imagine he has to, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can just do that, and it won't be, you know.
Like, when he used to the last time we had it was like when he walked out to the mound and go, "Didn't you learn your lesson when you tried out for soccer and you sucked at that, too?" I mean, his lines are fantastic.
So funny. Like, you, very creative, very funny. But yeah, those are just some of the highlights. So at Barry is funny. If you want to see, I just tweeted out the full YouTube version. It's about 2 minutes long. Those were some of the highlights. There's a lot of good ones. There's one where he's talking to a kid in Spanish and the kid's like, "Coach, I speak English." It's so funny. It's really good. So Scott, chiming in with another great version of mound visit. So check it out.
That's great.
Yep.
So I don't know if you guys saw this or not, too. Portland won again last night. 3-1 on a road trip without C.J. McCollum and or their big man, Nurkic. So they continue to roll. Rockets, the three of us broke down what we thought they were going to do. But if they really want to finish third, they might have to run the table.
Yeah, Portland's not going away.
And the crazy thing is, and I just don't think anybody fears them in the playoffs.
Portland?
Yeah. But to finish the season, we talk about what Harden's been able to do for the Rockets, but you got to give not only just Damon Lillard, but just that team in general to be where they are. No one picked them to be a 4 seed, let alone possibly a 3 seed. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty damn good. I mean, you talk about the injury and you know the time that McCollum missed, and to not go away says a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, the thing is, again, because they overcame the injury in the regular season doesn't mean they're going to be a good playoff team.
Right.
And like I said, I think they're a formidable opponent if he's healthy. Without him, I think that they're probably one and done. But we'll see. I mean, home court is a big deal when you play in Portland. That it means something. But matchups are going to be key, and that's why this game tonight, too, between the Warriors and the Nuggets is going to go a long way to deciding a lot of things because it's a massive game. And I was talking to the guys before the show on the Culture Map side, and I said, here's one thing where I don't normally bet. I wouldn't bet on NBA games, but I'll say this. For a Warriors team that just goes through the motions in the regular season, This is one of those games where, remember Clay picking on the fact that the Oracle hasn't been the greatest home court? Well, I think the fans are going to show up tonight to make a difference because this is a big game. And I think the Warriors team is basically going to put a foot on the throat of the Denver Nuggets and say...
to make a statement.
Yeah, you've had a whole lot of fun this regular season, but you ain't us.
Well, what's interesting is, depending on how that goes, Portland might have their hands full because they have back-to-back games against Denver.
Yep.
And that's going to be difficult for them. And while they're playing Denver, the Rockets will be playing the Clippers and the Knicks.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance the Rockets run the table. But I think that when you look at it in the overall, and I said yesterday I thought there was an outside chance they could get to 2. I still don't think that's the case. But I think you're right. If Portland is still as hot as they can be, and if they can do some damage to the Nuggets, there's an outside chance. Look, I think the Rockets have the tiebreaker on the Nuggets, but they definitely don't have the tiebreaker on the Blazers.
Well, no, I brought that up to say that Portland might have some issues having to play Denver twice in the last 5 games. Yeah. I mean, they could potentially lose those 2 games.
Right.
They still have not a difficult matchup, but I mean, Sacramento isn't awful. They can play.
Because they're young, they're going to come at you, play a fast pace. I still think it's going to be Warriors, Nuggets, Rockets, Blazers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's the way it'll finish. But again, it'll be worth watching tonight.
Again,
just like the Blazers, I think the Nuggets are in that book to me.
I'm going to have to record that game and watch it because there's so much.
Did you say record it?
Yeah, record it.
You normally give me a hard time for saying that.
No, you said tape. I say record. There's a difference. Boy. My DVR records games. You say I'm going to tape it. Your DVR doesn't have any tape. No, it's not the same thing. You push the record button on your DVR. That's recording.
I mean, I have to agree with him.
Shut up, Nick.
he's looking at me for help. I'm like, what do you want me to do? He's like... It's okay. Look, taping, you can still say tape. I'm not going to make fun of you.
I didn't think I had anybody. I just think that you give me crap amongst the things.
Say tape.
A lot of things, and that's one of them.
Barry Warner says tape.
You're an a-hole. I think Denver's a lot like Portland, by the way. I think Denver's a great regular season team, but I think in the playoffs you need superstars. I just don't think they have any.
You don't think the Joker's a superstar?
No, I don't think he's a superstar. I think he's a hell of a player.
What do they call him? White Shaq?
I haven't heard that.
Shaq started calling him White Shaq.
Someone started calling him
Shaq
White Shaq?
Shaq doesn't pass like that.
White Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq didn't have the court vision and make passes like that.
I'm 90% sure that they started calling him White Shaq on the broadcast.
And I've told you guys how much I love Jamal Murray, and I think he's a stud, but I don't think he's a superstar.
Oh, Baron Davis called him White Shaq. That's what it was.
Okay.
And Shaq got offended. Of course.
And
Shaq's going to be offended by anybody saying anything. But, yeah, Shaq is insulted as BD calls Jokic the White Shaq on Inside the NBA. I thought somebody had called him that.
Yeah, I don't think that Shaq was the passer that Jokic is, but I don't think Jokic is nearly the big man that Shaq was.
I'm sorry, but when I look at Jokic, I think he's sloppy looking. His body is sloppy. Oh, how is he doing what he does with a sloppy body like that?
You know why?
Like, it's just, it's like all, like.
It's like lanky?
No, it's not lanky.
It's not tight. It's not, you wouldn't
he's
think.
He's pudgy.
You wouldn't put him in the same category as the Manimal and the Greek Freak.
Oh, I wouldn't.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't hit it. You wouldn't hit it. It's gross. It's just flabby looking.
First of all, no one discussed anything about hitting basketball players in any sexual way. Stop talking like that.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, Joel's right. If he took his shirt off, you wouldn't be like, ooh, he's ripped. He's cut.
You wouldn't be tweeting out the cut ripped Nikolai Jokic.
But there is
a
bunch of players
like
that.
He enjoys desserts a lot and stuff, like me.
But you know why he's as good as he is? Because over in Europe, they start getting training as part of their schooling on the fundamentals of the game and all that stuff when they're like not even 10 years old yet, and then they continue to do it. That's why he's so gifted as a passer as well as all the things that he does when he's on the post.
Tell you what, it gives dads everywhere hope. You can have a dad bod and be a great athlete.
And there's a bunch of...
But the way he is physically, he's really good.
And Nurkic is similar. And that's the thing that blows my mind, that you had Nurkic and Jokic on the same team in Portland, and you decided you couldn't keep them both, so you just decided to trade one away for a Plumlee? Mm. I think you could have done better than that. Because you imagine those two guys sharing the block for a team that wanted to go big? Yeah. Man, that's a pretty talented roster.
Sorry,
those two
I cut
guards.
You off. What'd you say?
I don't even remember what I was about to say. Sorry, I got distracted.
Oh.
Distracted. Anyway.
You didn't put that do not enter sign on the
door? I do not have that. The on-air sign outside my door is not functional.
Oh.
It's not functional. So, yeah.
Mm. That can be a problem.
Interesting.
I found this this morning. I thought you guys would get a kick out of it. Country singer Jake Owen is a huge golfer. And he decided to go out on a podcast and, like, as Barry would say, you drop something, can I help you? But he was dropping names left and right of guys he's golfed with and he's got stories with. His story with Phil Mickelson, pretty funny. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah?
So I'll share that with you guys for the end of the day. So we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Fred, Aaron, AJ. They're here and out and about, so they will make sure that they take you and entertain you till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. I mentioned before the break, Nick, are you familiar with your two-stepping with Jake Owen?
I'm familiar with Jake Owen. I don't know if I've two-stepped to it.
Okay, so he's a country, and I'm not a big country fan, but he's a country singer, and he's also a big golf guy, and he's tight with Jordan Spieth. Barry, I remember back when this was going on, when this was around Thanksgiving, that Tiger and Phil were going to do that whole match, and you asked if I was going to pay for the pay-per-view, and even I, a golf fan, said, no, I'm not doing that. So Jake Owen's on a podcast recently, and he decides to tell the story of the fact that he actually did pay for that pay-per-view, and then was at Jordan Spieth's wedding, and Phil Mickelson was there, and he...
The pay-per-view between Phil
Tiger versus Phil match that they played in Vegas.
Up.
Yeah.
Okay.
They tried to do the big pay-per-view and it was like $29.99. So Jake Owen is tight with Jordan Spieth and he's at Jordan Spieth's wedding and across the room he sees Phil and he's had a few cocktails and he decides he wants to let Phil know about the fact that the pay-per-view was not one of his favorite things.
I did give Phil Mickelson a lot of shit though at Jordan Spieth's wedding. Jordan got married in November and Phil was there, and it was the day after he played Tiger. I had a few cocktails, and I saw him across the room, and I was like, I got to go tell this guy what I think. So I walked over to him. I was like, hey, Phil, you owe me $29.99. I was like, for wasting 4 hours of my life with this shittiest golf I've ever seen. You guys hyped this whole thing up about this big match. You guys couldn't even make three birdies between the two of you.
Holy
I'm like,
shit.
I want my $29.99 back and apologize to me for some shitty golf.
Oh my God.
And he pulls out a wad out of his thing and he grabs a hundred, like a $100 bill. He's like, yeah, I won 90,000 of these yesterday.
He's like, oh my God.
He goes, take a hundred and go fuck yourself.
What?
Yeah. Right to my
this
face.
This can't be real.
I swear.
Oh.
That's awesome.
And ironically, he tweeted that segment of the podcast, and Phil responded, put true story.
That's outstanding.
That's fantastic.
That's good stuff.
I mean, that's Mickelson, and people don't see that side of Phil.
Yeah.
But he went on. He had other stories. Like, he was, you know, he was in the Pro-Am a couple times, a couple Pro-Am tournaments with Jordan Spieth. And Wayne Gretzky was in the group, and I forget who the other guy was in the group, but he said, hey, my kids are big hockey fans, Wayne. Would you sign a golf ball for each one of them? And he went into his bag, and he pulled out TaylorMade golf balls that had 99 on them for the great one.
Mm-hmm.
He had, and he signed one for each kid, and he goes, do you one better? He goes, turn around. He had the bib on, that the caddy bib. He signed it, and he said, now get Dustin Johnson to sign it. Get Jordan to sign it. Get everybody to sign it. And he goes, and you're good. And the guy was like, yeah, I like that. And he goes, now, I'm just going to, this is Gretzky talking. He goes, I just want to give you a little heads up. At the end of the round, the caddy master is going to come, and he's going to want that bib back from you because they recycle them every day. And he goes, you tell them, you go F yourself. The great one signed this one, and the great one says, you don't have to. And everybody was like, whoa. And he goes, I'm serious.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah
so funny. He had some good stories.
That was awesome.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's cool. That was really funny. Now, what did that? That's a podcast?
Yeah.
Barstool Sports Podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch that. It's not like the 15, dude.
I don't know.
I haven't listened to one podcast ever. Everything that I've ever heard from a Barstool podcast has been in the form of clips.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I've never listened to... I used to be a big fan of The Herd when he was on ESPN. Now that he's on Fox, I don't even watch that show.
Yeah.
I watch it on Facebook when they post episodes and interviews. I just watch clips. So, I'm sure it's a good podcast. I know Barry's not a big fan of Barstool anymore, which is fine, but not everybody is.
Are
I just
not?
Don't listen.
Barry,
I thought you said that.
No, I don't. It got too bro for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't mind it being funny and entertaining, but I feel like it's just like a lot of things that get popular, and it's not just them at Barstool that do this. A lot of things do, but it became too... Like, Barstool used to be a great resource for us on this show.
Sure,
you could go to Barstool and get great articles and content to talk about on. And then it just became like every single post is another one of their podcasts, whether it's the Pat McAfee show or the other one or the pizza eating. It was just all about Barstool and the people that work there and not about sports and the funny side of sports. And I was just like, I got enough bros in my life. I don't need a bunch more just doing bro stuff on a website.
I still will check it for the show.
I stop.
But I'll tell you this. I feel like a lot of their stuff is forced now. It used to be just kind of off the cuff funny. But then you see the girl that once interviewed here. I want to say her name is like Kelsey or something like that. Mm, but she at one point.
Casey Smith.
Casey. Smith. And Casey, we saw her at Super Bowl Radio Row and everything like that. And she had... an up-and-coming career, and she really wanted to be in sports, like a SportsCenter type personality. And now it's almost like they're forcing her in these podcasts and such to be like one of the guys, one of the dudes cussing and you know, and getting raunchy. And it's like, I'm not sure if you're evaluating this from the big picture of it's all fun and games while you're at Barstool, but if you got to go find another job, that's not exactly going to help you.
They've got a great following and fan base, and they're doing something right because they're massively popular. Then they do something collaboration with ESPN at one point, and then it failed.
Yeah, it got to be a whole pissing match in the media too because it fell apart.
Yeah, but and I feel like it's one of those things. It's inevitable, right? Like, I mean, everything. Like, you remember ESPN SportsCenter used to be perfect. It was like Dan Patrick and
Keith Olbermann,
and it was funny, and it was, and then it started to get bigger and bigger, and it got commercialized. And the same thing with these talk back shows, and it's just like anything, it kind of gets ruined the bigger it gets. American Idol is a dumb one to throw in the mix, but that was a show that was just about the music, and then they started having product placements, and now they're in Ford cars and doing. It was just like, it just got commercialized and over the top. And I feel like the same thing happened to Barstool. They just kind of sold out.
And they're smart from a Barstool standpoint in the fact that you're right. They do have a hell of a following because now they create T-shirts. Yeah. And they've got a line of T-shirts that whenever they throw a new T-shirt out there, like for instance the Roger Goodell one with the clown nose.
That's a couple years old now, yeah.
But it's not only that's my point. I mean, it's lasted for a couple of years, and then Sean Payton's wearing it, and because of the whole controversy this year with the penalty, not penalty,
yeah,
it became another big deal, and they're selling them out like crazy, so they're making money.
I mean, I don't begrudge them. It's just it became not my thing.
I was surprised when you said it because I'm not saying it's like what we do here. But to a certain extent, you know, the bro talk, the
guy talk, like sitting around. Yeah, I get that.
It's similar in a very distant way.
I don't feel, for lack of a better term. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like we force it. Like we don't sit down and be like our show prep isn't about how we can bro out for the day.
Right.
Our show prep is all about sports. And if organically we get off on a topic and it just happens, then we go with it and we run with it. But I feel like Barstool was like that. And they had funny articles and takes and their writers would write in a way that was entertaining, but it just became so like, hey, we've got to make money, we've got to get clicks. It was almost like Rob Gronkowski became their creator or a creative consultant or whatever. But it just, I don't know, it just became not my thing. And that doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not my thing.
You know what though? The other thing too, it's interesting when Barry's talking about that. The thing that I see in all this is sometimes when they run the risk of having someone that becomes big or bigger than Barstool,
yeah,
it's time to cut ties. Remember Michael Rappaport?
Yeah.
And the fact that Michael Rappaport was a great contributor, and all of a sudden he started to get a little bit more, his podcast and everything started to get a little bit more popular, and they were like, you know what? You got to go. Pat McAfee, guy you mentioned. I mean, it helped. They brought him in from the early stages on,
yeah,
but all of a sudden he started to get bigger and bigger, and they were like, you know what? Time to cut ties.
Yeah.
They don't like anybody to get bigger than the creator, so to speak.
No, they do not. Hey, are you guys big peanut butter and jelly fans?
You know me. Well, yeah, I know you're a peanut butter fan. Without question, you know the peanut butter.
You a big PB&J guy?
I am.
Okay. It's like the sandwich of choice in the NBA. We'll discuss next.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
You got that going on in the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you for 30 more minutes, two more segments until the Blitz takes over, until 7 o'clock Is today Soccer Matters, or is it Late Hits with Pete Crate? Or
it's one of the two, for
don't
sure.
Don't catch me lying. I want to say Tuesdays is Soccer Matters, but
okay.
It's either Tuesdays or Wednesdays, one of the two. But if you want to reach out to the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to call, if you want to text, use that, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, and at the producer Nick on Twitter, if you want to hit us up there. And I talked a little bit about it before the break, but I found this article, and it wasn't part of what we do in the mornings to discuss it. I actually found this during the show, so I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. But apparently, there is a PB&J addiction in the NBA. And it all started with Kevin Garnett and an unnamed player on the Celtics back in 2007-2008.
Yeah, and I think at the time, you actually had brought this up, and I was unaware of it. I was like, really? It's that big of a deal?
Well, this article dropped a couple years ago, and they've reposted it or something came up. But the thing that's crazy is it's spreading throughout the NBA. Like the Spurs have this thing going. The Rockets have this thing going. It started with the Celtics, but like Portland, and it's become this thing. And I think it's still going on now, which is part of the reason why they revisited the article. None of that I don't care about. I'm just curious. Like, it seems like such a simple-ass thing the PB&J, but they talk about it, like Garnett, when he did it at the time, he said he went out and had a great game. So he was like, hey, that's the thing. We're going to do that now. And that's how it spread. Are you like, I mean, I like a PB&J, but I don't know that I'm having peanut butter and jelly as this. I feel like that's a kid sandwich. I don't know if I'm doing that just all the time. Like if I sit down to make a sandwich, it's not going to be a PB&J.
No, I'm with you. And well, first of all, for me personally, because of reflux, peanut butter really messes with me.
Oh, really?
But I will say this. The one thing that I thought, one sport that I thought PB&J was the biggest was in golf. Because in golf, after nine holes at the turn, they grab something quick while they're on the go. And you always see as the players are walking down the 10th fairway, they're trying to pound down a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because it's the quickest way to get energy and it's an easy to eat sandwich.
Right. Nick, you PB&J guy? If you were going to have a sandwich on a Saturday, you're just hanging out?
I rarely make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but I totally will do it.
It was weird, a diet I did that was one of the things that you could have. Like that was one of the lunches was a PB&J sandwich on makes a diet. Sense. That's weird. But also today is National PB&J Day, so I think that's why ESPN put it up there. But that was a thing back in the NBA, and it's still a thing where it's like they have also in the article – and I had forgot about this, but fried PB&J, where they'll grill the sandwich. Yeah. Yeah, I'm out on that.
But too. I'm out on that as well. But so because again, you and I have gone back even during the weight loss challenge, we went back and forth on this. Some people say PB&J, and Lisa's one of the people that says, "Hey, PB&J is good for you." And then other people, Travis Johnson was on the show back in the day and said the easiest way to gain weight, and NFL players were told, "Eat you some peanut butter and jellies at night, and you'll put on weight."
Yeah,
but he said peanut butter.
Well, peanut butter, okay.
Just eat peanut butter by itself straight is what helps you gain weight.
Or on bread, because the bread with the carbs, I'm sure, would just help to add weight.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's a different kind, like not a good, I mean, not that there's any, I guess, good weight to add. If you want to bulk up, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to burn it off, like a lot of people say if you're going to eat peanut butter, eat it early in the day, because then if you work out or lift, whatever you do, and if you exert a lot of energy, it's a great way because you're going to burn it off. But at night, you're not going to burn it off.
So this, somebody said, in bodybuilding too, I put PB and peanut butter and jelly on a rice cake to help get a pump backstage before going on stage. That was part of what they said for the NBA is that it's the sugar and the jelly, and then I guess there's protein in the peanut butter. Yep. The bread gives you a spike of energy, the white bread. So all that combined, I guess it's a good early or pre-game meal or snack. They said that they have them like on flights. The Rockets will have it. In the locker room beforehand, mm-hmm. before the game, they'll have more at halftime, and even have some available in the flight.
I texted our guys. I'm going to find out if they do it or still do it. But I do recall, and this started because of Dwight Howard and the fact that Dwight Howard had such a junk food candy addiction that when sports starts getting matched up with, you know, health and fitness and human performance, they started looking at what he was eating during the day and how mm-hmm. much candy and crap and all the sodas and everything. And they banned all the bad food from the flights and all those kind of situations. Cause you know, the Texans, they get the Chick-fil-A, they get the fries, they get all the stuff when they're on the flights. Rockets flights. It was all healthy stuff.
Check this out. In the article, it says to alter Howard's diet.
Ah, there you go.
Cause they're talking about Dwight Howard. Shanahan first had to understand it after calls with his bodyguard, chef, and personal assistant. She uncovered a startling fact. Howard had been scarfing down about two dozen chocolate bars worth of sugar every single day. You name it, he ate it. Skittles, Starburst, Rolos,
yep.
Snickers, Mars Bars, Twizzlers, Almond Joys, Kit Kats, and oh, how he loved Reese's Pieces. I'm with him on that. Mm-hmm. He'd eat them before lunch, after lunch, before dinner, after dinner, and like any junkie, he'd had stashes all over. She told his assistants to empty his house, and they hauled out his candy stash in boxes.
So they had to
boxes.
So they had to do it on the flights as well because he was requesting. And obviously, these airlines, when it's a private charter service, they're going to cater to whatever the players want. And the people had to come in and go, "Nope, no more of that." Because all he's doing, the Skittles thing, I knew was real, but it was all kinds of candy and crap and junk food, and they had to step in because the weird thing now, and again, and of course, people out there are going to be, and they're absolutely right though. It's also the catering that people do, not just the food, but how mm-hmm. they cater to NBA athletes. In the Rockets locker room now, there is a player's kitchen, okay? The player's kitchen has its own chef. Uh-huh. So on a game day, say, the players come in for shoot-around. Before or after shoot-around, And normally before, the chef will make each guy whatever they want for breakfast.
Oh, so you
and
can also, pick? So it's not a menu. You just say what you want.
Right. So there will be a couple of serving trays with pre-made pancakes, whatever. Uh-huh. But if you want something special, he'll whip you up an omelet. He'll do whatever. Shoot around's an hour. After shoot around, by the time the guys shower and get ready to go, they can go back in and request whatever they want for lunch. And they can either eat it there or they can leave with it. Then they come in pregame, and if they haven't eaten yet, you know, we had the stories all the time about the players that would go and send the ball kids to the snack stands to get the hot dogs and the popcorn. No. You come in before the game. If you haven't eaten, you tell the chef what you want. He'll make it for you. Or, again, there's four options that are sitting, four or five options there. And then after the game, if there's something you want or need, and especially if you're on the road, if you're on the road and you're getting ready to go travel, they will cater in one of the best restaurants in the city that they're in, and they will have food before they go to the plane. And then when they're on the plane, there's more food.
I say let's live in that life, but we do get a lot of free food here also.
Yeah, it's nothing like nothing like being a pro athlete like that.
No, but we are pretty lucky in that if we really, like, we could put a call out for food, and people would bring food. We can, we're associated with enough restaurants that they would get food. I mean, hell, Jennifer was just up here from Chick-fil-A over at 610 and Shepherd and brought us food. That's just because she heard us talking about Chick-fil-A and you hadn't tried it.
Right.
So, I mean, we are lucky in that regard, but boy, it would be nice if Gal would spring for a personal chef up here. I mean, I don't think that's too much to ask.
We got two kitchens now.
Yeah. I don't know. What's wrong with having a Gal Media chef?
We got Eric Sandler. Like, I mean, I'm sure he'd know a chef that might be interested and can make all this stuff happen.
I feel like
Culture
that should
Map.
Be a thing. I don't know. Like, he's sitting on, you know, just like top three shows and top five of the six shows in the city. Just oodles of cash. We could get a chef in here.
Out. Number one sports station in Houston.
Yeah, I know. Voted number one radio station in Houston. I don't know if it was just sports or whatever. But
see what you did. It's fine.
Top five of the six shows. I mean, like, that's all. I don't think it's too much to ask. We're superstars. We've got to keep our energy up to make great radio.
I'm not going to superstars.
We're superstars, Joel. Believe in yourself.
You're the Joker. And I'm... Huh? You're the Joker and I'm Jamal Murray. Neither one of us are superstars. We're just doing all right.
We're just on the Nuggets.
Remember we were talking about the Nuggets? Yeah.
Speaking of Nuggets, if we had a chef, he could make us Nuggets. I don't know. Now I just want to lobby for a personal chef at Gal Media. So if I'm not here in a week, you'll know what happened. They told me to hit the bricks.
For calling out the boss.
But I'm telling you, you got Culture Map associated with us now, and with all the foodies and the Eric Sandler.
Eric's not trying to hook us up.
He should be, but he's not. You're right.
He's not trying to hook us up.
He's selfish that way.
We need to call him out. We need to call Eric Sandler out. That's true.
We should.
That's a beef I don't think you want.
You're probably right. I'm gonna move past that comment.
We consider ourselves lucky that no one played an April Fool's prank on us.
True.
Because we could have, one of us, it probably would have been Joel, would have ended up like Will Kane. If you don't know what happened, what's the show before? It's called High Noon.
I'll hack that one up. The way you hack up the morning shows, I have no idea what that show's called.
I think it's called High Noon. It's Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre. And they had Will Kane. They asked Will Kane to sit in for Bomani Jones on the show. So he was going to sit in and do a show with Pablo and got real comfy. And then it turned out that maybe that wasn't the case. And they punked him like this.
I needed a co-host, and you are that co-host.
Got names, our first.
Gotcha.
What do you mean, got me?
April Fools.
These jokes on me, huh?
Yeah, hey, you still get paid. There you go.
So I'm really not doing the show?
The plastic is real, though. Real stuff.
You guys have me on, you jerks won't have me on as a joke.
I love it. He's like, so I'm really not doing the show? Now, what's funny is they punked him, Bomani Jones pops up because he's getting all comfortable. Like, yeah, man, we about time we did a show together. And the Bomani Jones is like, psych, April Fools, get out of my seat. And so he's like, I'm really not doing the show. They're like, beat it. And then he leaves. And then Bomani Jones is like, man, this seat's lower than I thought it would be. And so they're taking shots. On Twitter, of course, Will Kane's getting roasted. And then he can't. It's almost one of those things like, look, if Will Kane was in on it, he needs to just shut up and play his role. But apparently he couldn't stand the fact that everyone was like, yo, they got you good. Because then he started saying like, oh, I was in on it. It's like, dude, don't ruin the bit.
Yeah.
If you're in on it, you're in on it. But is it either he was in on it and he's mad because, I mean, the whole point, if you agree to do that, you know you're going to look bad. You know you're going to take heat on Twitter.
Because Bomani's last comment to him was, because he was like, I really thought I was doing the show. And Bomani was like, dude, the only time you're ever filling in for me is either if I quit or if I get sick.
And so you know, like, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to catch heat and everyone's going to be, ooh, and make fun of you. But don't go out and be like ho about it once people start messing with you and be like, oh, I was in on it. I need to call my agent because I'm a great actor. Like, dude,
I'm not.
You look weak now.
Yeah, it's a classic example. A lot of people can say they can take the heat. And then when they're in that situation, when they're the butt of the joke, you can tell that they can take the heat.
Yeah.
It's just facts. So I totally agree with you. If he was the one part of the joke, he wouldn't be half as upset. He wouldn't be upset at all.
Well, either that or you,
I mean him.
Don't try
doing
to cover for it. Yeah,
is what I meant.
Don't try to cover for it. Like you were in. If you were in on it, then just shut up and take it because that's the whole point of the joke. Yeah. Well, the whole point.
But the joke is highly successful if you were in and can still or have everybody believing that you were punked, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if that was the case.
So like Deadspin,
you guys should just come out and say that I'm the Will Kane.
I did. I said this you would be the one that would get
and I wouldn't take the joke. I'd be pissed off. Let's just be honest about
like
it.
You guys
you just come right out and say it.
Deadspin said Will Kane was the salty butt of the only good April Fool's joke. So he takes that headline and tweets and says, and then the most humorless people in the world walked in wondering who the butt of the joke is. Like, see, so he's saying like I was in on it, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you didn't have to do that. Like, you could have just, especially if you helped with the joke. I don't understand that. That, I don't know. It's just, I feel like he lost more of my respect by not being able to roll with it than if he would have just rolled with it. Because I'd be like, ah, that's funny.
He lost my respect just every time he turns on a microphone. I don't like him, and I think he tries to be the younger version of Skip Bayless. And that's not a good look.
Does he?
Yeah. And he tries to be controversial and stir things up. And he's just annoying to me.
I can't say I've ever seen anything of Will Kane.
Well, I only see him on one of your favorites in the morning when he either fills in or they bring him in to be a part of First Take.
Okay, so I have seen him.
Yeah, he's a massive Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
he
tries too hard. Will Kane tries
absolutely
too hard. Yeah.
And that's why I can't stand him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So
Patrick Randall said, chefs, let's get those shirts out first.
It's a good point.
Touche, P. Randizzle. Touche.
Very good point. And you know what? We're going to be the guys that they charge if we want some for our family or something. Yeah. They're going to be like, it was $5 a t-shirt.
They did that before.
They did that to me when we first started. Yeah, we were on a remote. I go, hey, my mother-in-law's in town. Can I get a couple of shirts?
$20.
They're like, yeah. I was like, no, it ain't happened like that.
That's great.
All right. One segment to go in the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to our happy home. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry just happily sifting through some of the positivity that we receive on a very consistent basis via text and social media.
I'm not even going to start going on a rant. RW wanted to know if he's blocked. No, we're not.
Yeah. It just depends.
Yeah.
Remember when I told you guys when Zion blew out that shoe? Like, first of all, why, if you're anybody at Duke, why are you leaving that thing in clear sight for the rest of the game? Now, I wonder if anybody had the wherewithal to say, I should probably hang on to that thing. Because here's my thing. I honestly believe that Nike wanted that thing shipped back to them as soon as possible so they could start breaking it down to figure out if it was something a default in the shoe or something they did, or just the fact that he's just a large human being that can generate a lot of torque.
Mm-hmm.
But now the report comes out, that shoe worth $250,000.
That's stupid. That is just dumb. If you pay $250,000 for a torn up shoe, you're an idiot and you deserve to be parted with $250,000.
But Barry, people Dummy. Would pay more than that for a baseball card.
Yeah, but there's some rarity to the baseball card. The shoe is just a shoe.
Time out.
It's
time
just
out.
A shoe.
Is there not rarity
a
to the bad tennis shoe?
Not even a good shoe.
It's a rarity to the shoe. It may be the most famous shoe of all time.
Oh, okay, so if... I mean, this is just dumb. If Charles Barkley, like, sharded on the court and it fell out, are you going to say, oh, that's rare? Like, it's just a shoe that
well, that's
messed
a bad
up.
Example.
It's a bad example,
no,
but here's,
it's
a,
not.
Here's
it's
an example
rare.
I've given you guys before.
How many NBA poops do you have? Like, it's stupid. It's that dumb to pay
was
for
a worn, glass, well, was NBA it on a glass top table or was it on
well,
the court?
Yeah, there's
I mean,
that.
Now there's that.
I hate that we get back on that subject again. It's all I can think
no,
of.
No, but here's the thing.
Just in general, it's dumb.
I told you guys the night Steve Francis lost his tooth at Compaq Center.
Yes.
Someone in the front row claimed it, put it on eBay, and people were bidding on it the next day.
Fool and his money are soon parted.
Do you think that Judy Garland's shoes from the original Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home? That's just shoes.
I think that's different. That's
those
movie,
brought a ton of money.
That's movie memorabilia, and that's a market, and that's something
but
I
Barry,
get.
But Barry, say you're a basketball fan, a Duke
the
fan,
Wizard of
a
Oz
Zion
was a
fan.
Groundbreaking movie. I kind of get that kind of stuff. But a guy who was just on the court and his shoe blew up, that shoe blew up, and you were like, oh, that's rare. Like it,
if you have
it
that
injured
shoe,
him.
And at some point you can get him to sign it too. If you have that shoe, you talk about a limited edition. That's a one of a kind from a guy that may or may not, as he's being compared to LeBron James, be like a superstar for years.
So buy his jersey.
But it's not limited edition. It doesn't give that unique factor that puts the value up.
Yeah, that's a good point. But somebody said, what about Curt Schilling's bloody sock? Same thing.
Someone said he faked that.
I'm not paying $250,000 for a nasty-ass bloody sock.
Perhaps a little bit of it depends on the fact or whether or not Zion Williamson becomes this great player like the next LeBron,
true.
Or is he just some random player? I think that has a lot to do with it. But there is a rarity factor because of the game-worn dynamic, and we know that game-worn stuff, like if it's a torn
yeah.
jersey that's game-worn, I think it may have some value. If it's game-worn and someone...
Not $250,000. That's
yeah,
a
now
lot
I think it's premature.
Money.
I think that number is
it's
premature.
It's a gamble
for sure.
Because of the point you're making, Nick. It's a huge gamble because you don't know if he's going to achieve all the things that people say he could achieve.
Here's right. the thing: is it's a big deal now because it recently happened and he's the talk of basketball and he's going to be right. the number one pick and all that. 50 years from now, you think Zion Williams' blowed out shoe is going to be worth the value that you paid?
If
even
he's
now?
An amazing player, Hall of Famer,
he
yeah.
is. So let me give
you
an example. Let me give
you
an example.
If LeBron James did that in high school, you think that shoe would be worth $250,000?
Oh
yes.
My God!
I think
it'd
be worth
more than that. Absolutely
it'd be
more
worth
than
more,
that.
Bro.
No doubt.
It'd be
no
seven
way.
Figures, not
no
six
way.
Figures.
If,
I promise
if,
you.
If LeBron James is still at his high school, St. Mary's, I believe it was, and he had that shoe, and
no.
that happened, and you had that shoe, and he's achieved what he's achieved in the game, no doubt about it.
How about
it
this? LeBron, you know what LeBron could do? LeBron could go back into his closet and get gear from 15 years ago
Saint
and say, "This I wore this shoe
at St. Vincent's and St. Mary's.
Or even the first year he was with Cleveland, and this shoe was torn up, and it's been sitting in my closet.
And it's going to be worth $250,000.
No
I think it'd be worth
it.
More.
No
doubt
no.
about Oh, yeah.
And
LeBron.
I'll give you an even
You're
bigger one.
About one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player ever.
If you
Some
got,
people are making the argument
If
now.
You got Michael Jordan's shoe rookie year when he first started wearing Air Jordans.
And it
you
blew
still
out because it was
not,
defective?
But you still
Get
had
out.
That shoe, and Air Jordan brand blew up to where it is now, and you had one of the first pairs Michael put on. That's over $1 million.
I mentioned this guy before. I forgot his first name, but his last name is Khan. He literally invented the term.
Genghis.
Murderabilia. He literally coined that term.
Murderabilia, yeah.
And literally people are paying for yes. hair of murderers that are sitting in jail for the rest of their lives.
And they're getting them to sign
And they're
things.
Idiots. Because it's not, I mean, the hair of John Wayne Gacy has no value. There's no value.
They were having Charles
dumbass.
Manson sign things in prison.
Well, I'm just saying that to me, and I have memorabilia. So, like, if you had those little swatches from a game-worn jersey or whatever that you would get on a card.
Those are stupid. They cut up a jersey.
Yeah, but still, like, the fact is that it's, you know, the fact that you buy the packs and there's one in
right.
5,000 or whatever. It's the rarity of that.
Right.
And it's inflated, but it's also not, no one's ever going to pay $250,000 for that. That shoe, I don't know. There's nothing you guys can say to change my mind on this.
Aaron agrees with you, so you're not alone.
I think it's absolutely, well, now I feel terrible.
Yeah, now you lost the argument. It's over
Aaron.
Now.
Yeah, Aaron is king of the bad take. Now I feel like I'm on the wrong side of this argument. But I'm just saying, like, there's no way that that's worth a quarter of $1 million. Even
dude,
20
if you think
years
about it,
from now.
If it was Jordan or it was LeBron, and they've obtained the status that they've obtained and all the things that they've achieved in the game and outside the game from just a pop culture.
If you want to tell me the first Air Jordans that he won, you know, like that he won in or whatever, or, oh, this was the shoes he wore when he won a championship, or he was on the court when North Carolina won a championship or whatever. But not even then would it be worth a quarter of $1 million.
Carolina,
$50,000, $100,000. Okay, and that would be a lot to go six figures. Quarter of $1 million for a blowed out ass shoe.
I'm telling you right now, Barry, and I'm going to get the price of it. But Carolina wore Converse. So it was even before he wore Nike. I think they sold recently a pair of his Converse from Carolina. It was a pretty big deal.
Josh Rappi, sometimes. Things only have the value that someone is willing to pay. That doesn't mean that's what they'll pay, but that doesn't mean that it's smart. My point is that you're a dumbass if you paid a quarter of $1 million for a torn up shoe that his foot came out the side of. You're never going to recoup that money.
I'll tell you what, if it was me, because Zion Williamson's name is so hot right now, I would, if I could buy it, if I had the money, I would flip it right away because I don't want to risk. I don't want to risk the fact that
his
name going down.
That's my point.
But if someone's willing to pay for it, it's worth that much, bro.
What about?
No.
Yes.
That means that's what they're willing to pay. That doesn't mean it's an actual worth.
Bro, the UFC.
Take out the whole Carolina or championship, everything like that. The shoes that Michael wore in the Olympics.
It's worth $10 to me, so is that its value?
The shoes that Michael Jordan wore in the Olympics just sold for almost $200,000.
That's the Olympics, and those shoes are good, and it's Michael Jordan, and he is the greatest of all time. This is a kid that's played 1 year of college ball in a defective shoe.
But you got to take
it. And it's worth another $50,000?
It may be the most famous pair of shoes that we have seen ever. Because it's the one pair that blew up.
The original Nike running shoes are probably up there.
You take a risk, but it's got some value. If he achieves great things... Well,
Whoever buys it, it'll only
go up.
Whoever spends that money obviously hates money.
Or has just too much of it.
That could be it, too.
All right. Hopefully, you guys have not had too much of us because we'll be back again tomorrow on a Way Back Wednesday. But we're going to sign out so that the Blitz can sign in. They're going to take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own parts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.